prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
Truth Revolution, good morning. I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
Where faith and reason meet, that's what this show is all about.
That's right, you don't have to throw away one to enjoy the other.
You can have brains and belief.
Really?
Yeah, it's possible.
What a concept.
Theoretically. And we're trying to prove it.
Yeah, every single week.
Bam.
Yeah.
All right, we talked about God's existence. We've talked about the existence of angels. We've talked about Jesus rising from the dead. And is that logical? Can you prove it today?
Right.
We're talking about demons.
And we're in the middle of, basically for the whole month, we're talking about the other side.
Oh, you kind of freaked me out with that voice there.
But it's the other side that we're talking about since, you know, Halloween's coming up and stuff like that. We figured we'd have a little bit of fun and kind of uncover what's going on in the spiritual realm as opposed to what people might think.
That's right.
So.
And we are really, really thankful to all our supporters out there.
Definitely.
To everyone who makes this show happen. It's the listeners who make this show happen, as well as Revolution Church, where I'm a pastor and Dave's a bass player. And so we want to invite you all out there to Revolution Church, 10:15 this morning. You can also go to our website, truthrevolution.tv.
Right. You can make a donation there if you like, as small as you want. Set right now for 99 cents.
Yeah, that's like one purchase, less than a purchase on iTunes.
There you go. And then, of course, you can check up on all of our past shows or many of our past shows. And we're fairly current for like the last year or so.
And what you need to do is go in there and find places where we're wrong.
Please do. Because we welcome skeptics, you know. And it's not that we want to argue with skeptics.
Good luck.
It's just that... It's just that when skeptics ask questions, it leads us to ask questions and sends us in a direction to where we can uncover a truth.
Okay, thanks. And, you know, we're talking...
Why are you laughing?
I just remembered a letter we got this week about the show. And I'm not going to talk about that.
All right.
So today, anyway, thank you for all our supporters. You guys are awesome. So today we're talking about demons and... One day after church, or during church, Levi, our singer, walked out in the hallway while the service was going on. We had finished singing, and at our church, we play pretty loud music.
Yes.
It's rock, it's electric guitars, distorted, drums, I mean, it's full on, it's loud, and after the music, our worship leader, our singer, walked in the hallway, and there was a lady who was walking out. She looked really mad.
Okay.
And he said, "Hey, are you okay?" And she turned, she whipped around, and she said, "What you are doing wasn't glorifying God by the way we were worshiping. It's a disgrace." And he's like, "Well, why? You know, what did we do wrong? I mean, did we read a Bible verse wrong? Did we not pray? I mean, what did we do wrong?" And she just kind of kept deflecting the answers and bringing it back to like the music style kind of, and eventually, she points at him and says, "All I know is there are two spirits in this world, and you're worshiping the wrong one."
Wow. That's pretty intense.
That's really intense. At this point, he said, "Okay, ma'am, you can have a good day. Goodbye."
Right.
Because, you know, that's just bunk. I mean, even if you don't like the music, if you don't like rock music, it doesn't mean you're worshiping the devil.
Right, right.
But one thing she said in here that I just... want to get out there when we talk about demons or Satan. She says there's two spirits in this world, and one of the things she was trying to insinuate or at least came across was that there's something equal about these spirits.
Right.
You are either going to have God or you're going to have Satan, and to a certain extent, you're either following God or you're following Satan,
right.
But they are not equal in any way.
Right, and she was insinuating it's an equal choice.
Yes,
right.
that look, you guys, just by the nature of the music you choose, you've fallen captive,
right.
You're worshiping the devil.
Right.
Now, this isn't true. Satan is not as powerful as God. Satan is not God, and
right.
We're going to talk about demons today.
So she kind of pulled it down to a choice, like, it's like, well, it's between McDonald's and Burger King. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It was very trivial.
That's right, and we all know the right choice would be
No.
I don't know. Oh, okay.
Wendy's.
But Satan is real. And
right.
The Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich.
This
show is not sponsored by Wendy's, but if they send me a sandwich, it will be.
No kidding.
All right. Satan is referred to by Jesus 25 times. times. So he at least thought Satan was real. And these aren't metaphorical referrals.
Right, right.
Listen to this, though. We're going to expound on some facts about demons.
Okay.
And the first one is that Satan and demons, they have emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I didn't really know that. I mean, but I didn't not know that. I mean, you know what I mean? It was just one of those things.
That was totally not an answer.
that's who I am.
Revelation.
You should know this by now.
Revelation 12:17 says, "Then the dragon," which is Satan,
mm-hmm.
"was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commands and mm-hmm. to hold to the testimony of Jesus." He was enraged.
Yes.
He was really ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions are real, and Satan and demons really have them. They can get angry at you.
Right. But wouldn't you say that he's always enraged? I mean, if... You know, he basically got kicked out of a cush job, you know, he's having to waddle around on Earth and, you know, try and pull people to the dark side like Darth Vader and stuff.
Yeah, I would say hatred is normal for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would say he's always enraged because he's a pretty smart cookie.
Right.
And he can make plans. He can understand and analyze. You know, maybe he's kind of like the mad scientist that we picture of in movies where,
right.
You know, he gets enraged at times and totally goes off the handle. But some of the time he's able to think really
right.
clearly. But even when he is thinking clearly, it's still driven by that
right.
hatred.
Okay. Yeah. He has moments of lucidity.
Sure.
Where he's like the evil genius.
Sure. Yeah. He's very gotcha. Smart. You got to remember, he's been around as long as humans have.
Right.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able to study us and how we work and what we do for a long time. But they haven't always existed. In fact, Revelation 4:11 says that they were created. It says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things."
Gotcha.
"And by your will, they were created and have their being." So here it tells us God created everything. This includes
mm-hmm.
Lucifer and all those demons. And by their will, God created them. By his will, God created them.
Right.
So it wasn't an accident. It wasn't like he was forced to make them.
Mm-hmm.
God just made them.
And the one thing that points out is there is definitely a hierarchy, with God being at the very tip top and then everything else below it.
That's right.
So Satan would be, you know, somewhere below that.
God is the creator.
Mm-hmm.
His creation cannot overcome him.
Right.
Satan does have control over many things in this world, but God is not one of them.
Right.
Matthew 4:8 says, "Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me."
Now, does that imply that he owns all that?
Well, dude, I want you to think about this for a minute, because I don't necessarily think it means that he owns it forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus replied to him, Jesus did not say, "You're full of it, dude. You don't own this. This
right.
isn't yours."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus simply rejected the temptation.
Wow. So that's kind of telling. He kind of said a lot by not saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, imagine I come to you and I go, "Hey, Dave, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you the Kansas City Chiefs." No, actually, that wouldn't be a temptation. If you bow down and worship me, David, I'll give you Denver Broncos.
No, give me the Chiefs, because I can think of a lot of uses for them. I got a yard that needs cleaned up.
They are busy on Sunday.
Well, no.
Apparently not the rest of the week. Dennis.
They're not too busy on Sundays, evidently.
Anyway, did you hear this thing about Matt Cassel getting cheered when he got injured?
Yes, yes.
Was that last
yes.
week?
That was last week, and it was... I'm a Broncos fan, but I really I didn't like that very well, because, I mean, I hate to see other players get hurt. No, I don't mind seeing them getting hurt for a week when they're playing the Broncos, you know, for the rest of the season. But anyway, let's kill that bunny, because we're getting off the subject.
Dave owns season tickets to the Broncos.
I do.
So let's just imagine, Dave, that I said, "Dave, if you worship me, I will give you the Denver Broncos."
Mm-hmm.
Well, how would you respond to that?
Mm.
Would you?
I would be like... Really, can you swing that?
Yeah, you'd want to know. How are you going to give me the Denver Broncos?
Right.
I mean, and the answer is you'd want to know, because you don't believe that I own the Denver Broncos. You think that's a ridiculous scenario.
No, I know who owns the Broncos. So.
Right, and Jesus knows who owns everything. And when the devil says, "Worship me and I'll give this to you," Jesus doesn't say, "You don't own this." He doesn't say that.
Right.
He says, "Worship God only." So this doesn't mean that Satan is in complete control here. Not by a far stretch of the imagination. But that there are certain elements of this world the world in general, Satan is in charge in a way. He's running a lot of things here.
Right.
So we have to keep that in mind. That's
right. And he's referred to sometimes as the God of this world.
Yeah, yeah, or the prince of this world. That's right. And we also have to remember that demon possession does occur.
Mm-hmm.
The Exorcist, like we talked about on KSAL Friday morning.
Right.
You know, this does happen, not necessarily like in the movies.
Right.
Mark 5, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Jesus heals a lot of people who have demons. So demon possession is real.
Right. But there's a way through it and out of it, you know?
Well, there is. And it's definitely not like what our popular notions suggest. You know, there's a lot of churches or Christians who, you know, think, oh, you can't stop smoking, you got the demon of smoking.
Right.
Or you're sad, you have the demon of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
That's not demon possession. You know, it's simply not.
Right.
Demon possession is like when these guys, they would be mute. They would chain them up, and they would break the chains.
Right.
They'd be foaming at the mouth. They would throw themselves into fires.
But wouldn't you say that it's fair to say that that some of the things that we do can be of demonic influence rather than possession? I mean, you know, like addiction. I mean, could that be a demonic influence, not necessarily possession?
Certainly, Satan and the demons want to influence mm-hmm. everybody, Christians and non-Christians. They, you know, by pointing things out, you know, this is a battle for the mind.
Right.
And they want us to notice things that we shouldn't notice
mm-hmm.
or to dwell on things we shouldn't dwell on. That's Satan's goal. They want you to think about things you shouldn't be thinking about.
Right.
Because if you start with thinking, which that's how evil always starts, you start thinking, and then later you do. Because you will do things you never, ever wanted to do once you've thought about it enough.
Right.
And so it's a battle for the mind. They want to influence you. They want to put those thoughts in your head. They want you to look at things. They want you to see things on the internet and notice them. They want to, certain billboards you drive by, they want you to really take interest in those.
Gotcha.
But it's important to know that demons cannot possess Christians.
Right.
They cannot. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you?"
Mm-hmm.
If you are a really true believer of God, God lives in you. A demon cannot come in and take over your body right. if God is already inhabiting you. That is impossible. And there is no example in the Bible of a Christian being possessed. Not one.
Right. And actually, I never thought about that, but that's true.
That's true. Once people accepted Jesus, they would not have demon possession again. So if you are scared about being possessed by demons, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. I mean, that's
right. Fill that void before something else does.
Yes, that's right. All right. So now, but back kind of like to the question: well, can demons influence us? And I think the answer is demons can cause sickness.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean sickness is always from demons. I don't want everyone who's sick to think that the demons have got them. We're gonna come up to the end of the show here. We're gonna do a Bible contradiction when we come out of the other break. We're gonna continue talking about demons, but I just want to give a shout out, everybody. Remember, go to truthrevolution.tv. You can check out our old shows there. You can donate. You can ask us questions.
Right.
If you love something we say, if you hate something we say.
Please do ask us some questions, because we do enjoy figuring stuff out and being able to steer people in the right direction.
Yeah, we got a couple questions this week. And actually, we probably should answer more of them on air. I think we're going to start to do that again.
Okay.
I keep answering people via email because we keep running out of time on the air. But I think it would be fun for people. So, all right. So anyway, demons can cause sickness, but sickness isn't always from demons. Listen to Matthew 9. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who'd been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." So,
wow.
So, yeah, I mean, demons can cause people to be sick. That's right. Absolutely true. But not all sickness is from demons. 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, "Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and frequent illnesses." In other words, medicine can help you.
Right.
So,
right.
Don't just assume the demons are after you and not go to the doctor.
Yeah, when some people just automatically attribute every bad thing to demons, and that's not the case.
We have a friend whose pastor had leukemia. I'm going to tell a story on the other side of this break about a devil worshiper and how he was involved in that.
Really?
It's kind of crazy. So, all right, we'll be here after the break. Check us out online, truthrevolution.tv, and Revolution Church this morning.
All right, coming about half an hour.
10:15 a.m., so check it out.
True. Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about the other side this month. And today, we're talking about demons.
Yeah, and when I was a pastor in California, my wife worked at a volunteer connection, and her boss was a wife of a pastor. Mm-hmm. And their head pastor at their church had gotten sick with leukemia.
Okay.
Well, a devil worshiper came to visit her at work. They sat down, they were doing some paperwork, and she knew he was a devil worshiper. He told her straight out. And she said, or he asked her, "Hey, tell me how things are going with your pastor." She said, "Well, actually, you know, he's gotten sick." She was just trying to make good conversation, trying to make the best of what she thought was a weird situation.
Right.
She said, "Oh, well, he got sick. He actually has leukemia, but, you know, we're praying for him." And he said, "I know he has leukemia. We prayed that he would get leukemia." And so he and the people who worship Satan along with him had been praying against this pastor.
So you're saying that people can actually influence Satan or demons to do things bad?
Well, certainly there are spiritual things going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, I wouldn't want to say that people can influence Satan to act on their behalf,
mm-hmm.
but that Satan can influence people to think that they are.
Okay, I see.
These people had been probably influenced by evil and demons very heavily,
mm-hmm.
and Satan was really doing a number there. Praise God, he was eventually healed from leukemia.
Right. How does that happen? Can you actually be healed from leukemia? I mean, normally, isn't that something that's, mm-hmm. or is that a permanent thing?
I'm not actually familiar with leukemia enough to give an answer
on that. That would be cool.
Yeah, so. But look, Satan is looking to harm us. 1 Peter 5 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, mm-hmm. looking for someone to devour."
Right.
"Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings." Satan tempts us, like we've said earlier, but he makes it look good. It's not right. Like he's going to come to you in the movies and you're going to be like, "Wow, that's the devil."
Right.
No, it's 2 Corinthians 11:14 says Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light.
Right.
You see Satan, you're going to think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That he's, "Oh, wow, this is so nice and tender."
Right.
So,
because he wants to coerce you into coming over and falling away from God.
Yeah, he's not dumb.
Right.
He's not going to be like, "I'm the king of evil.
And you'll
you do something that I want you to?"
Right.
The only reason he was totally upfront with Jesus is because he couldn't hide himself from Jesus.
Right.
Jesus knew who he was. So, and by the way, Satan tries to cause bitterness and selfishness in believers. If you're a Christian, or I suppose even non-Christians, selfishness and bitterness towards other people,
mm-hmm.
that's coming straight from Satan.
Oh, yeah, because it's a divide and conquer kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, bitterness and jealousy and stuff like that is one of the quickest ways to do that.
Yeah, listen, it says James 3, verses 14 to 16 in the Bible. It says, "If you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil." When you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find a disorder of every evil practice. So this bitterness, selfish ambition,
mm-hmm.
that's from the devil.
Right.
That is not something we want to be messing with.
It's not Satan possession,
no.
But that attitude comes from the devil and is actually an influence from.
Yes, you've been influenced by mm-hmm. him, definitely. So if you're angry at people, if you're bitter towards people, that you are being influenced.
Right.
Satan accuses us before God. Revelation 12:10, we see that.
Mm-hmm.
Satan plants doubt in us about God's truth.
Right, and that's kind of like a two-prong attack there, because he's talking to God, and of course God knows the truth.
Yeah.
But Satan's still up there anyway, accusing, and then getting into our heads and saying, "You're a bad person because of what you did, and you can
Absolutely.
Never be forgiven." And that's not the case.
Right, he wants us to be ashamed of what we've done.
Right.
And he keeps putting doubts in our head about what is true.
Right.
And he lies to us constantly. Now, that's kind of, and that comes from John 8:44 and Genesis 3:1. So, you know, this is about Satan. We're going to go ahead and answer how God handles this situation. But before we do that, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Right on. Bible contradiction today comes from the Gospels. And I stumbled upon a website, and I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it's called The Thinking Atheist. And so they've got a ton of Bible contradictions. So it was like I hit the mother load yesterday.
Sweet.
So, but they asked, did Jesus allow his disciples to carry a staff when he sent them out? Okay. Mark 6:8 and Luke 9:3 look to be in contrast to each other. Mark 6:8 says that he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Luke 9:3 says, and he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. So, you know, one says, do take a staff, take nothing except a staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other says, take nothing, not even a staff.
Right.
What's the truth here?
What we have going on is when you read the Bible, you have to remember that they are taking real life situations mm-hmm. and recording them.
Right.
So let's just take a real life situation here that happened this morning. You pull up to the radio show on your motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a pop in my hand, and you walk in the door, and I say, all right, man, let's do this. I'm ready. Are you ready? And you say, yeah, I'm ready. And we get in the elevator, and I go, man, I'm tired. I'm not sure. I don't know about this morning. I'm kind of tired. And now, if you come in here and you reported what had happened, let's say there was 10 witnesses. Mm-hmm. Some people might write down, and Jeff was ready. And some people write down, Jeff wasn't quite ready. They would both be sharing truth about the situation.
Right.
But what they're trying to do is make a certain point. The point that they were trying to make here in Mark and Matthew and also the stories in Luke is that Jesus was telling them, carry a light load. Don't be concerned about what you have with you.
Right.
So don't be concerned about what you're taking with you. You're going to do God's business. God will provide. Just don't even worry about it. Just go. You know, just fine. Take a staff. Whatever. Don't take
right.
a staff. Just go. And I mean, this is kind of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some sort of real life situation that occurred that prompted Mark to record this as, yeah, Jesus said, don't take anything, man. Don't take a staff. Don't take food. And it prompted Luke to write down, yeah, you know, go and don't take anything. I mean, you can take staff, but nothing else.
Right.
You know, and so it's not necessarily a contradiction. They're both trying to explain in different words what Jesus was getting at.
Gotcha.
They're paraphrasing probably what Jesus said. Now, another possibility is that this was recorded. There was a copyist error where the word no staff got in there somehow instead of take a staff.
Right.
That's a possibility. Or Jesus might have been talking rhetorically. This is the other third possibility where he said, hey guys, you know, I want you to go and I want you to take a staff with you, you know, but nothing else. And he says, well, as a matter of fact, you know, don't take a staff. Don't take
right.
anything. Just go.
Right.
You know, and they are writing down a synopsis of what he said, not the exact quote. I mean, they were trying to get across, hey, the point is you go, you trust God, and you just don't worry about the belongings you have with you. So this isn't a contradiction in truth. It's just a question of, okay, did he say no or yes? It's a paraphrase. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
So that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Wow. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, if it had been a passage that really had an effect on our salvation, then you might really worry.
Well, yeah, like it said, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you can be saved. If you believe in me, you cannot be saved.
Right.
We'd have been like, well, they should have maybe paid more attention to that.
Right. But something as trivial as take a staff or don't take a staff, you know, I mean, when it doesn't really affect your salvation, the whole salvation concept is still intact.
Right. Well,
still
and there. Even when it does, mm-hmm. proper biblical interpretation,
right.
proper interpretation of any book
right.
says you go after what the content is, what the purpose is, what the meaning is, not the slightest little words mm-hmm. here and there. Just because you have different authors recording the same truth in slightly different ways.
Right.
Okay. So God helps us resist temptation. This is how God helps us fight against Satan and demons.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Every time you're tempted, there is a way that you can get out of that situation.
Right.
God provides a way every single time. I actually can think back to times that I was tempted to do wrong, and I know this is the moment God's letting me get out of this situation.
Right.
So God gives us opportunities.
And some people don't. I mean, I can't help myself. But, I mean, you know, they get stuck in doing wrong because, I mean, they...
Because they love wrong.
Yeah, well, and they've done it for so long.
Sure.
And they like doing what they're doing, and they don't want to stop.
There's sins that I do that, you know, man, I like that.
Right,
and
right.
I say I want to stop, but I don't really.
Right.
So, all right, God unites us. Mm-hmm. Satan tries to tear us apart. God unites us, 1 Corinthians 1. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. So uniting with people, especially Christians with Christians, is from
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
God forgives us. This is huge. I mean, I don't even...
It's just one of the biggest concepts that the Bible gets across, is forgiveness.
We're doing a series at Revolution Church right now called Fail Men. We're looking at people who failed in their life. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, people who failed... And that God worked beyond it. God redeemed that situation where they sinned, where they screwed up, where they messed their life up, and said, "Hey guys, we're gonna still use you. I'm gonna do great things through you." So that's what our God is all about. God gives us the truth, and most of all, God loves us and He values us. Think about that. I mean, Satan's here to shame you, to make you feel like an idiot.
Right.
But God is here because He loves you. God created you. He designed you. He appreciates you. Yeah. He loves you.
And let's make no mistake. Satan has been doing this practice for centuries and millennia, and he does it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But God can overcome that.
Yeah. You have to listen to the Word of God instead of the words that come into your head. John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him.
Right.
You see, that's why Jesus came, to save the world. Jesus didn't come down here, do all these miracles, teach all these amazing things, come and help everybody so that He could look at us and go, "But, you know, Satan's right, you guys are dumb, I'm done with you."
Right. I'm glad that doesn't happen.
Jesus, God loves you. He wants you to know Him. He does not want you to be influenced by Satan. So, you know, listen to Colossians. "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Mm-hmm. God's never leaving us. He's going to forgive us. He's got to believe that. All right, hey, join us this morning at Revolution Church, 10:15 a.m.
Coming up in just about 15 minutes.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today on Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our website, truthrevolution.tv.
Yep, you can donate, check out past shows.
Ask questions. Mm-hmm. You can see a picture of Dave and I, which would make your day a lot better. All right, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution, truthrevolution.tv. Come on over to Revolution Church, whatever you're wearing right now. We just want you to have you there so you can hear a new series called Fail Men about why God loves us and redeems us no matter what.
See you next week.